right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and
Ant. Mike.
I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Testor, writer of names and flavor tags for Wizard of the Coast and Articles at Gathering Magic. With me, as always, interrupting me, as always, that was a good one, is the one and only super flavorful Mike. I'm not even going to finish it. Mike Linneman, we have a preview card for Ixalan. Why do I put myself through this? I don't even know.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Real quick, before we get started today with the preview card, I want to give a big thanks to Gathering Magic for hosting us, putting up with us, and providing A-plus Vorthos content on the daily as of late. There's always something, like a flavor deck or something you guys should check out. Sponsored by Cool Stuff Inc., which you should be buying your board games from, clearly, and the deck builder, which we use for Vintage Artists Constructed. It's so simple. You just copy-paste in there. Choose what kind of condition you want for cards. Bingo bango. We promote it because we use it.
Yeah.
But
that deck builder thing is sweet. I just bought like an entire cube a week ago.
Sure.
Because I've just been cultivating a list, and then I just plopped it in there, and I was like, "Here's my condition."
You just get
to pick.
You're like,
and
you're
they
like,
just
I
sent
want,
it to me.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
I want slightly played, or the foil is 10 cents more. I'm gonna choose that. Oh, I want that artwork by that artist, and it is the fastest, most efficient way to do it. Like, it, bar none, it is the best thing on that site, and I use it constantly and don't even think about it, and I don't promote it enough, so absolutely check that out. It's worth it. Tell Evan Irwin you love it. We all do too. But today, preview card, flavor gems, and we get the same card. What's the card?
The card is Perilous Voyage. It is a 2 mana cost, 1 colorless, 1 blue instant, return target non-land permanent you don't control to its owner's hand. If its converted mana cost was 2 or less, scry 2.
Okay, so 2-drop instant boomerang effect to them. And if it's 2 or less, scry 2. So think about what those would be in the game. You know, obviously think of Vintage. You know, you bounce a Mox, you bounce a Black Lotus, force them to use it or something. You scry 2, dig for more stuff, try to find your combo and go off. Perilous Voyage seems great. I think it's going to be a really fun thing for anything Commander. You know, get a dig a little bit. If you could recur this, find multiple ways to cast this, holy cats, is this strong. Because you could always find a Sensei's Divining Top. There's always something that is bounceable, that is so good to bounce. Or even a creature that you want, that, you know, you want to help a teammate out too, that, you know, you're playing with Commander, super good for that.
Yeah,
but we're a flavor cast, Ant.
We're
all about that taste. Talk to me about this. Talk to me about what you see here. So I want to get your take first.
All right, so I mean, obviously we see two characters, right? One of which is falling down a waterfall, it looks like, and
probably.
The other one is reaching out to them in some fashion. From context clues, I'm going to assume that this is Vraska because of the snake hair.
My girl. It's my girl, yeah.
And then if, you know, I pull out my, you know, handy-dandy CSI enhancer majig, then I can clearly see that it is Jace who is falling into the chasm.
Yeah. So Vraska doesn't care about anybody, apparently, because she's black-green, which isn't entirely true. So someone that's black aligned can still care about people. People that are green aligned can still have feeling, not just instinctual things. I wrote a big article on this quite a while ago called Marriage Proposals and the Color Pie. And I talked about how some of these people could have relationships and friendships, like a black aligned couple would be like the power couple. Like if you've seen House of Cards, like they're power hungry, but they realize, like, I can't do any better than you, and you can't do any better than me, so we're going to take on everything together. You know, black-aligned couple. And I think Vraska finally gets some flavor to her, which she's always been like, assassin, she kills things. For what reason? We don't know. But now it's like, no. She actually stands for the downtrodden, and she's, like most Gorgons, she's really misunderstood of how is she motivated? What does she actually want?
Yeah.
And seeing here, it's like, clearly she needed Jace for something. Otherwise, why would she care?
Right,
like,
right.
Does she need his powers? Does she care for him by the end of this block? Like, why everything we found beforehand, remember, she hated him. Remember, there was a dual deck.
That's true. There was a dual deck.
Jace versus Vraska
back in Return to Ravnica.
Like, it existed. That you know, there was a conflict between them. So by him losing his memory and not knowing who he is Vraska able to forgive? Can Green forgive, or are they more like elephants and carry that guilt and burden of forever? I don't know. But I like this idea of a spotlight to say it's bouncing a creature, bouncing a non-land permanent, scry two, learn something. But really, you get super, super depth into Planeswalker characters without being ham-handed like James's Goblin Wizard, you know, that you don't need to do that.
Right.
Here, it's like you get depth without seeing it.
Yeah, you just hit exactly. So the flavor text for this card is, for the first time in her life, Vraska tried to prevent death. And I'm excited because this is the first card that we've ever previewed where I actually wrote the flavor text. Like, this,
hey,
is,
yo.
This is one that I wrote. I worked on Ixalan. And what you just said about, you know, you bounce something and you learn something, scry two. That's exactly the approach that I used when writing this flavor text, because if you think about it from like a story standpoint, Jace gets bounced more or less, right? And someone needs to learn something. And so I was like, well, who would learn? Either Jace is going to learn from his mistake of like, oh, I fell down this hole or whatever it is, right? Or Vraska is going to learn something. And I think the fact that she's reaching out, trying to save him, maybe in this moment, she's learning more about herself than she might have otherwise thought was possible.
Sure.
Right. And I think it's interesting, too, that, you know, up until this point, Vraska has just been, you know, like the classic villain. Like, she's the Medusa. She's, you know, stares at you and turns you to stone. Instant death. Right? And that's a very classic tried and true trope.
Sure.
But one thing that we can take away from the Ixalan trailer is that Vraska is working with these pirates, and she's, you know, giving them a rousing and inspiring speech, which lends you to believe that maybe she feels a kinship with these kind of similarly downtrodden, similarly scoundrel-esque, misunderstood
outcasts.
People.
They're outcasts.
Right, outcast.
Whether it's deserved or not.
Exactly. And so I can imagine that, you know, her experience with these pirates would more or less make her start thinking about, like, her place in the world and maybe how other people approach her. People approach these pirates the same way. And so the fact that she's starting to understand, oh, maybe I can have relationships, or maybe I can have friends. Maybe I don't have to turn everyone to stone.
It's a softening, right? It's a softening of the character, like they did with Liliana, to say, like, well, she's black aligned, but there are no evil characters. There are selfish characters, but selfish isn't necessarily evil. You could be selfish and still do wonderful things for your society. It just has to benefit you.
Right.
And I think that idea has kind of been repeated here. And I'm not against it. I think it's actually a good thing.
Yeah. So what I'm interested to see is that Vraska is, as you've pointed out, she's black green in alignment, right? So Liliana's kind of softening was, oh, well, the Gatewatch, like, they're okay. I could use them to help me, you know, get rid of the rest of my demons. Like, Liliana has a very clear ulterior motive.
Yeah, Machiavellian, right? Yeah, and justify the means, no question.
And maybe she's like, you know, I like having them around because now I have people to kind of boss around. And
I can sleep.
And be my minions.
I can sleep and not worry about getting killed when I'm sleeping. Right.
Right. Like, there's definite gains there.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm interested to see is, like, so Vraska is black-green. So maybe her, you know, softening is slightly different. Maybe it's not a straight ambition type route where she's like, oh, this sucks. Jace fell down a hole. I needed him to do something.
Sure.
You know, maybe that's not the case. I don't know. Like, this is story spotlight 5 of 5. So it's kind of, you know, letting us know that we're going to end Ixalan on a cliffhanger a little bit.
Hey-o.
Like, literally.
Literally, it's a cliffhanger. Right.
You know, that's the thing that I'm most interested to see potentially, you know, develop in, you know, this next coming small set is just that, you know, how is her kind of transformation? It's got to be different. It can't be exactly the same as Liliana, right?
No,
they're not going to
no.
repeat the same thing again.
No.
So
no.
That's more what I want to see. It's like, how do they use this same similar idea, but in a different way that is true to Black Green?
Yeah, and frankly, Black Green hasn't really been dove into much. You know, it's kind of like, it's like the Grohl people of Ravnica. You're like, where are they?
They're just like sewer trees.
No, but they're not in the sewer. Things. Golgari's in the sewer. You know, like,
oh, Grohl, sorry.
Yeah, Grohl, like, Grohl, where Grohl, are right. they? They're like, well, they're in the wilderness. Well,
they're in the rubble belt.
There is no rubble. Like, everything's being rebuilt in Ravnica. There's no wilderness.
Right.
So it's one of those incomplete sort of things where, you know, Boros, you can understand. It's militaristic. Yeah. Okay, there's...
The Grohl always remind me of, like, a grizzly bear that wanders into civilization, and they just don't know what to do with themselves. They're, like, eating trash, you know.
Just doing whatever.
Just, like, trying to find a place to lie down, you know, like digging for worms, and they accidentally dig up a septic pipe, and they're like, what the hell is this? Like, it's just, they have no idea, like, why people are reacting the way they are. They're just trying to do their thing.
But the Golgari actually have a role in Ravnica. They're like the soup kitchen, right? Like, they're supposed to feed the masses, and you're not supposed to think about what you're eating, but
right.
how you go about that, they have a vital role,
they're like Whole Foods.
Well, without the pretentious part, yeah, it'd be like a right. Dollar General, Whole Foods,
right? Mashup, right?
Mashup, but even that, it's like, well, what are they motivated by? Well, they want to help the many, but they have like zombies. What? Like, they don't need food. So trying to understand their motivations as a Black Green, it's, you know, you're instinctive, but yeah, you're selfish. But how would that work in society? And what does a planeswalker reflect that? Are fantastic things to work on. If this character was male, I think we'd be less interested, because it lends itself to a complexity. And I think having a Gorgon, this misunderstood character, and having been represented by a female gives depth, and we're begging for depth. And I like that. And simply by bouncing a Jace, which Jace can't be bounced, P.S., because he's a 3-drop in this set, Jace Cutting Castaway. But if you're smart, you realize his -2 is a blue illusion that can be bounced. So, you know, becomes the target of a spell, you sacrifice it, and he's getting sacrificed here. So is this just a red herring anyway?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's
so
funny.
So it could just be a clone.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Maybe he's just...
Would be so pissed.
Right? Like, if he's messing with her intentionally.
Oh my god.
Or this entire thing is an illusion. Because mind you, look in the hole, you see the trees. Those are full trees. So this isn't a waterfall. And the one line of green on the rock thing on the back, that if this was actually...
Oh yeah, this is definitely
there,
some kind of chasm that opened up or something.
It's an immediate happening, and that they just kind of got surprised by. So is it an illusion
that
entirely?
Plays up the instant, too.
Right, exactly. Otherwise, sorcery or whatever wouldn't make a ton of sense, even though it probably could work. But by having that in there, the focus isn't Jace. Jace may be doing it because it's blue, because she can't cast blue spells, or she can, but, you know, doesn't. It's from his perspective that he's maybe doing this, or someone else is doing this, and Jace is... We are the viewer as Jace watching this happen. Like, all sorts of shenanigans could be happening. But they've been choosing this art description, and do you notice what I notice about Vraska? We see the back of her head.
Oh yeah, the red in her hair.
Yeah.
That's totally different. This card is a great resource for cosplaying Vraska. Not only for that, but because you also get to see the entire back of her costume.
Right, which you never get to see that.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you're lucky if you're a high-end cosplayer that they'll send you some style guide stuff, but for the average person, you don't get to see that.
Right.
So that's super fantastic to see. And the red in the tentacles, you can see it in the foil, in some of her older foils, but you just think it's the foiling process for Vraska the Unseen in the dual deck. You're like, oh, that's just the foiling. It's like, no, that's her actual color.
Yeah, didn't she have like an orange glow to her eyes too?
Yeah.
I think so.
So you're,
right?
So you're just like, oh, it's just whatever. You know, both Vraska's the Unseen. It seemed like an orangey tint where you're like, oh, it's just the foiling, whatever. And right. Now you get to see it in bright contrast that it's not makeup and it's not, you know, her painting, whatever. It's like, oh, that's actually what the colors are supposed to be. Right. So a slight, I wouldn't say this is a revision. I think this is just making it more abundantly clear what she actually looks like. Which right. I think is cool. I'm
yeah,
all about
she's that. Totally out of the shadows in this depiction, especially.
Ooh, she's out of the shadows.
Yeah.
It's both figuratively and literally.
Right.
Oh.
What's cool, too, is, like, we get these, like, clear shots at her arms, which on her original Planeswalker card, they weren't super defined. Like, you couldn't really tell if it was just some kind of weird, like, glowing
yeah.
lichen or, like, algae or something on her. But sure. Now it really kind of seems like her internals, like, glow green.
She glows.
Yeah.
Which is the weirdest, like, what?
Yeah, this is, like, we haven't seen something that weird since OG Mirrodin, where everyone had, like, fire gloves on, and you were just like, what is this?
Like, you got to get one piece, and you're like, huh? They have rock coming out of their shoulder?
Yeah,
what?
Their rib cages had like, slots for a furnace, and you're just like, it's cool. It's definitely cool.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't understand how you eat, but
I dig it.
It's still cool.
I totally do. I want to see how this plays in the story. I really do. And to see how this fits into Dominaria. Is Vraska going to be coming to that? And also trying to give callbacks to that. You know, where we've seen this, where they're trying to make good cards as story spotlights, which they might have made too good of cards in the past, like Emrakul, our boy, our girl, the Promised End. But that wasn't a story spotlight, but it was really, really pushed. Here, you know, it's a callback to that card, Voyage's End. Just it straight up is that,
like, literally in both name and mechanic.
Like it's even like a waterfall and somebody's falling over it. Like yeah. Okay, like I can see what you did there. Instead of writing target creature, scry one, it has to be target permanent because Jace is a permanent. You know, I get that. Like, I guess how that works and why was it two? Was Jace originally supposed to cost two? Clever. And for Antfer, I know you don't play Vintage, but there is some applicability here that's possible where you could bounce someone's box. They've been playing around with that with Paradoxial Outcome by your boy, Nilsham, to try to make that into like a Vintage-feeling thing that ties into some of the mechanics. Or even down to like the card like Repeal or Echoing Truth. Even Chain of Vapor all have this sort of bouncy non-land effect. And this is a kind of a slip into Vintage, and I love the idea of someone saying, wait, what if we could get Planeswalkers into the Vintage decks? Because right now it's like workshops, like you can't print a card that's at the power level to get into those decks, but sometimes you can print like sideboard cards or like fringe playable ones or whatever, and this could be like that blue card that sneaks in. And I think it'd be so cool for a bunch of like 1994 1995 guys that are really into Vintage, and then they have to play like a Planeswalker from today. Like, that's such a cool thing to me. It's almost this reintegration of the old and the new. So,
right.
I this is all I got, Ants. I'm happy this is an uncommon. It'll, you know, if it turns out to be super good, it could be value time with the foil. It'll pop quite a bit. You got anything else on this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, I was just going to say it is interesting that we're getting, you know, an uncommon, too, for a story spotlight. Like, I like the fact that these things, they have a lot of breadth. Like they really can spread across all rarities, all card types. Like,
and I think they should.
Yeah,
they totally should.
I agree. Like, I think they're really starting to hit their stride as far as, you know, capturing a moment. Like, you know, Emrakul was and is a great story moment because that's something that happened. It was like the pinnacle of the set, you
sure.
know, but having this like literal cliffhanger of like, oh, story card 5 of 5, Jace falls down a huge hole in the ground. Like it's almost like Pulp Fiction, you know, like I'm sitting here trying to think about like what situation were they in? How do they get here? Like, obviously they're in water. So were they standing in a river? Like, what were they doing? Were they arguing? No, we should go this way. Maybe we should go this way. And then all of a sudden a huge hole opened in the ground. Like, this is bizarre. you know, and it's, and there's just enough going on that I have more questions than answers, you know.
Well,
and even like what you pointed out in like converted mana costs two or less, but Jace costs three. So what's going on there? Like there are so many clues and so many different things going on that it really makes me excited for the stories themselves. And I think that's exactly what a story spotlight card should do.
I get that. Like they don't need to be the most powerful card. They just need to be cards.
They just need to make me want to read the story. Like that's the point. The story spotlight card, like I should look at it and go, I want to know more about this.
I get that. I totally get that. Like I think it should beg more looking into the sets. And maybe if they could use those for marketing purposes more often to draw people in, that could be a cool thing. I don't think it needs to be a target, but I could see how it could be.
Right.
You could add some sort of narrative in the area where you buy packs or what have you. Like, that's totally possible. It's just a lot of coordination.
Right, biscuits,
it's a lot. But, you know, there's people out there. People like Matt Cavada are those wizards that think about those sort of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good work on the flavor text on this. You didn't name it, though, did you?
No, I did not name it.
Oof. One for two. Not so bad.
It's yeah. One day we'll get a double.
Batting 500 here. Otherwise, good work for Wesley Burt. Did you also notice the mtgstory.com in the bottom right?
I did, yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, that is really
neat. I love that.
They're getting really good with the credits at the bottom. They fit a lot of information down here.
They really do.
A lot.
Especially a story spotlight card gets mtgstory.com. Like, ugh.
That's story spotlight, so 5 of 5, copyrights, mtgstory.com. I know where this is as far as like in the set itself. I know what color it's supposed to be. I know what set it's in. I know what language it's in. I know who the artist is. Like there's a lot of stuff going on down here.
Yeah, so whoever's working on that, kudos to you, and smart using mtgstory.com so that if the URL changes, you just need to change the redirect, which is really, really brilliant.
Right.
Instead of having a giant thing or a bit.ly or something like that. Anyways, I'm happy about this. I like the card. I want to see it played. I want to see it used. Wes Burt will get the high res or a larger JPEG out there. And Ant, if people got follow up and want to make fun of you about the flavor text, where can they find you?
So they can find me on Twitter at AntTestor or at my website, AntTestor.com.
I mean, they can find me at Vorthos Mike. You can, it's Twitter usually, just Google my last name.
Lots of N's, googly N's.
Google the ends. You'll get there, and you know we can talk about Vraska and why she is the coolest. But thanks for watching today. We'll be back again soon.